So we are up to Perek Tes Vav, chapter 15. In the last chapter, we read about how Shaul and the Jewish people were victorious over the Plishtim, and at the end of the Perek, it referenced that a couple of things that I guess are related to this Perek. So first of all, in the previous parak in Pasuk Mem Zayin, in verse 47, so it said that he battled with all his enemies around him, and it mentioned including Moab, Ammon, Edom, Malchei Tzova, Plishtim, and then in Mem Ches it says Vayas Chayo Vayaches Amalek. It says he made an army and he struck Amalek. That's going to be important. That's going to be what this. So there it was really, it hadn't happened yet. It was going to happen. This parak talks about that war with Amalek. Also at the end, the last verse says, Pasuk Nun Beis, it says, V'ra'a Shaul kol ish gibor b'chol ben chayel v'yasfeu elav. Whenever Shaul would see someone strong, he was fit for the army, so he would gather him in to join the army. Okay, so we're up to Perek Tes Vav, chapter 15, Pasuk Aleph. Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul. And Shmuel said to Shaul, Osi Shalach Hashem. Hashem sent me, Mimshachacha Limelech, to anoint you as king, Al Amo al Yisrael, on his nation Israel, the Ata Shema Lekol Divrei Hashem. And now listen to the voice of Hashem, listen to the word of Hashem. So, and the instruction is going to be related to attacking Amalek. But he introduces it by saying, Hashem has sent me to anoint you as king on his nation. Now listen to my voice. So, what's this introduction? What's he saying? So, first, the Tzadik understands that he's sort of showing him that I'm a real Navi. You know, what I say happens. I said that I would anoint you as king. Hashem said to anoint you. I said that you would be king. And it came true. So now that you see that, now you understand that, so now listen to what I'm about to tell you with regards to attacking Amalek. And don't argue, you know, this is the instruction. The Malbim here gives a little introduction, and he says, he wants to explain what ultimately is Shaul's, is going to be Shaul's demise, or why Shaul's Avera is different than the Averas that we'll see that David HaMelech had. David HaMelech maybe also had some errors in his lifetime, but it didn't cause the Malchus, the kingship, to be stripped from him, as opposed to Shaul. So the Malbim quotes from the Sefer HaIkrim that Shaul's errors were with regards to kingship, as opposed to David's shortfalls were more personal, relationships, or things like that, one-on-one, whether it's related to Bathsheba or to Uriah, with a man, with a woman, different things that happened in his lifetime, but they were more personal, as opposed to Shaul's mistakes were failures in leadership, failures in the role of the melech. We've already seen that he didn't wait for Shmuel when Shmuel told him to wait, which was, I guess, a more broad error. And now we're going to see that he's going, with regards to Amalek, again, the role of the king is, part of the mitzvah is to make sure to wipe out Amalek, and Shaul is not going to do that job properly, and so that's going to be an error, again, related to his kingship. So the
that a mistake that he made that matter that nobody should eat the drum? Was that considered
I don't know what in the last chapter he made a vow that whoever eats will be punished. So was that a mistake? I don't know. I don't think that that's listed among the things that caused his malchus to be taken from him, if I remember correct. I don't think I saw anyone say that or any midrashim. It seems to have been a mistake, but not necessarily one of the contributors to losing the malchus.
It seems to be in contrast to that last section that there was saying he did it on his own. And disregarded when his men decided they wanted to eat the mouth. And here, it's completely different that the prophet is telling to do something. And then
right.
Listen to what the people are saying.
Okay, I hear. So that's the, according to the Malbim, the introduction here, that Hashem sent me to appoint you, to anoint you as king. Right, you're the king, man. Like, do your job, right? So that's the sort of a warning that, like, you know, you've almost lost your chance. You know, I've given you a few chances, but you have sort of like one more chance to prove that you can be the king. You're supposed to be the king. You know, step up. Okay. So, Ko Amar Hashem, Pasuk Beis, so says Hashem Tzivakos, the God of legions, Pakati Eis Asher Asa Amalek Yisrael. I remember that which Amalek did to Bnei Yisrael, Asher Samlo Baderech Ba'alosum Mitzrayim. That he, some is like to put he, but he basically, he attacked, he placed himself upon the Jewish people when they went out from Mitzrayim. Right, so we remember in Parshas Beshalach that the Jewish people have just left Mitzrayim, basically. They're on their way to Har Sinai. The whole world has heard about the Makos. Everyone's scared of them. And Amalek attacks and sort of breaks the ice, or sticks the mashal that Rashi brings, right, is to a hot tub. And the first one to put their foot in starts to cool it off. So that was Amalek. They cooled off the fire and the fear that the world had of the Jewish people after they left Mitzrayim. So he says, you remember what they did to you when you went up from Mitzrayim. So Atah now. Pasukimol Lech Bi Kisa Es Amalek, go and strike Amalek. Let's pause for a second. So the Malbim, in classic Malbim form here, tells us that there are five reasons, justifications that a nation might have for going to war against another nation. Number one, he says, they wanna conquer it. They want to conquer their land, to extend their borders, to have more land. Okay, you know, there's international laws against that, but we understand the concept of why one nation, it makes sense that a nation would want to conquer more land. That's number one. Number two is that if there's another nation approaching your borders, you're not sure if they're planning to come through, you attack them to fend them off. Kind of like, he says, what happened with Sichon and Og, right? When the Jewish people came near the lands of Moab and Amorah, and they attacked them. So that's also, there's some justification for that. There were other issues, but there's some justification, or there's at least an understanding of that. Number three, there's some ongoing dispute that you have, and you just don't like each other for a justified, you know, something happened between you. You know, somebody called someone else a name, right, or whatever it is. So you get mad and you fight, right? Or number four, you want to show your strength to the world. You want to show off your strength to the world. And number five, you think that this is God's will that you're doing it. You do it because God, you know, God says, or you think that that's God's will. So says the Malbim, Amalek had none of these. None of these five justifications for attacking the Jewish people in the Midbar. They were not conquering any land. The Jewish people were in the desert. The Jewish people were not on their borders. They came out. Number three, there was nothing, no fight going on between them. It was random. It was Asher Karcha Baderech, Lashon Mikra, the Pasuk says. They happened upon you in the desert, meaning they just, out of nowhere, decided to attack. Number four, they didn't even show off their strength because they attacked in the rear. Cowardly attack, yeah. So there wasn't a display of strength to the world. And number five, they didn't do it because that was God's will. In fact, the opposite, v'lo yarei Elokim, they had no fear of God, the Pasuk says in Mishalach. So, actually, I think that's in, both of those are in Kisetze. But says the Malbim, there was no explanation for why Amalek attacked in the desert. So why did they do it? So he says, so the Mefarshim say, Kfira, they wanted to deny God's existence, meaning all the nations that heard, Shamu Amim Yirgazun, Chil Achaz Yoshve Pelashas, the nations heard, right, we say that in Az Yashu, the nations heard what happened, fear gripped them, etc., from the miracles, and they wanted to show, this God doesn't have any strength, we're going to show them, we're going to show the world, we're going to attack. And the second is that they hated the Jewish people from a long time ago, from Esav already, as descendants, the prime inheritors, heirs of Esav, and Esav, Sones, Yaakov, there's this hate from Esav to Yaakov. Amalek is the paradigm of that, of the hate of the paradigm of anti-Semitism comes from Amalek, and so that was their pure hate. That was their second reason for attacking. And that's why in the pasuk we say here that I remember what Amalek did to you, Asher. Some lobadara. They attacked you on the way. There was no threat to them. No land to be conquered. And it was Baalosum and Mitzrayim. They had just left Egypt. They weren't near the lands of Amalek, and there was really no justification for this attack. So that's really sort of the, in the Malbim's eyes, the source, sort of, or the idea behind the idea of taking revenge against Amalek was for this terrible act, which was based on a denial of God's might and existence, and number two, of just a pure hate for the Jewish people. And really, in Parshas Kisetze, when we talk about the mitzvah of wiping out Amalek, so the Torah refers to both these things. It says, Zachor Eis Asher Asalucha Amalek Baderech B'tzeischem Mitzrayim. Remember what Amalek did to you on the way when you left Egypt. Asher Karcha Baderech, that they happened upon you on the way. And then it says that, Atav Ayef Yageya, you were tired, and they attacked you when you were vulnerable, and that was out of hate. That was an attack against the Jewish people. And then it also says, V'lo yarei Elokim, and they didn't fear God. So it's these two things, this hate of the Jewish people, and that they didn't have a fear of God, or they didn't have a belief in God, and they wanted to, not just that they didn't believe, but they were like, you know, the atheists who have to put up signs on the highway, you know, to you see this in New York, like in Williamsburg, they buy big highway signs with like atheist messages, because it's not enough that they don't believe, it's not, they don't want anyone else to believe either. So So that's Amalek. So, okay. So what's the command? So let's see Pasuk Gimel. Atah lech v'kisas Amalek. Now, go and strike Amalek. V'hacharamtem esko asher lo. And destroy everything that he has. The lo sachmol alav. And do not have any, we'll say, mercy on him. V'heimata, and you shall kill me'ish ad isha, from man to woman, me'olel ad yonik, from the, there's different types of babies. I forget if Oel was younger or older than a yonik. I guess in this order, right, Oel will be a little bit older, like a toddler maybe. Ad yonik, till the nursing one, mishar v'ad seh, from a bull to sheep, migamal v'ad chamar, and from a camel until a donkey. Kill everything and destroy all their possessions. Amalek must be completely wiped off the earth. The complete memory of them. So, let's just read a few psukim and then we'll come back and go one by one. Yeah, I think we're going to read like a bunch of psukim now, and then we'll go back into them slowly. So, Vayishama Shaul Asam, and Shaul called to the nation. He made them hear, so he called out to them. Vayifkadem Batilayim Masayim Elef Ragli, and he counted them using Tilayim. Seemingly with sheep. That's how Rashi says it here. Everybody should take a sheep, and the way Rashi learns is everyone should take a sheep from the king's flock, and then he would count them. We'll see, there's other interpretations to this, but let's say that for now. And there were Masayim Elefish, 200,000 men, infantry. Vaseres Alafim es Ish Yehuda, and an additional 10,000 from Yehuda. Vayavo Shaul ad Ir Amalek, and Shaul came to the city of Amalek. Vayarev Banochal, and he battled with them in the valley. Vayomer Shaul al Akeni. Or, I mean, Nachal sometimes, I think, could be a river, but it wouldn't be in the river. What? What does Nachal mean? River or valley? Or it could mean either one. Right. Riverbed. Okay. Yeah, so they weren't dipping. River valley. Uh-huh. So they weren't dipping in the river, I assume, but, okay. River valley. Yeah, I think sometimes it's used to mean river, sometimes valley. So maybe it's literally
valley.
Okay. Vayomer Shaul el Akeni, and Shaul said to the Kenites, the descendants of Yisro, Lechu, go, suru redu mitoch Amaleki, leave the Amalekim. Right? It's like he Israel does when they're going to attack. They drop pamphlets. You know, we're gonna take out the terrorists. Civilians should leave. So he sent a message that the Keni should leave the city of Amalek. I gather that you win. I destroy you along with Amalek. And you did chesed. You did a kindness with all of Israel. When they went up from Mitzrayim. So the Keni indeed listened, and they left Amalek. They left that place. What was the chesed that they did? So, different mefarshim here have different ideas. They all relate back to Yisro specifically, that Yisro did a chesed with the Jewish people. So Rashi learns that he provided a suda for Moshe, Aaron, and Ziknei Yisrael, and the elders of Israel. The Radak Mitzvah say refers to the advice that Yisro gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yisro gave Moshe advice of how to divide up the judges. And the Marikaro here learns that Yisro was a guide to the Jewish people in the desert. It says, it says about Yisro, you'll be eyes for us. So he explains, no, certainly even though we had the Anane HaKavod, and we had the Shekhinah there to guide us, but certainly they got what he calls Nachas Ruach, like assurance, I guess, from having someone who knew the terrain. This was Yisro, you know, Yisro was from around there, Midian. He knew he'd done a lot of traveling, so Yisro was an assurance to them in the desert that they were going the right direction. I guess for the time that he was there. Okay, so that was the chesed. According to Rashi, it's harder to understand why it says im kol b'nei Yisrael. You did a chesed for all the Jewish people, because Rashi said it's that he hosted a suda for Moshe, Aaron, and the Zakenim and the elders. So Rashi brings this idea that the Torah considers it like he did it for all of Israel, because he did it for all the leaders. In the other two interpretations, so then it's more understandable, either the advice of how to reform the judicial system, so that affected all the Jewish people, and certainly as it being a guide in the desert would also affect everyone. So really, either way though, everybody seems to be taking the approach that it wasn't that the Cainy people themselves did some kind of chesed, as is implied in the pasuk, but rather that their ancestor Yisro did this great chesed, and as a reward for that, they were told to leave. Now there is a question that the Mefarshim have to deal with here, which is that why do we need a reason to tell them to leave? They're not Amalek, and if they're not Amalek, what right does Shaul have to kill them? Right? He has to give them the chance to leave. So, I don't have a clear cut answer. The question is that there's a mitzvah to destroy Amalek, right? There's no mitzvah to destroy the Cainy, the descendants of Yisro. So why does it have to say that, why does Shaul say, you can leave because you did a great chesed for my ancestor? That's why I'm letting you go. Or he should say, you leave because I can't kill you, so now's your chance to get out. Just why do we need the... why does he need to say it's because of the chesed that you did for the Jewish people? Leave because I'm only instructed to kill Amalek. I'm not instructed to kill you, so here's your chance, to get out. I don't think they're Midianites. Right, but
the
who's? I don't know about Kadmoni, but Knizi, right. I'm not sure.
They're different.
I mean, these are specifically descendants of Yisro, who I think are on good terms with the Jewish people. And there's no mitzvah to kill them. That's the bottom line.
Well, but they had become mixed up among the Amalekites.
Right.
And perhaps they were allies of them. And as allies, they'd be fair game as military enemies.
Right. Yeah, so that could be. That seems to be the general approach that you have to take. Either you could take it from that angle, or you could take it more from the other angle, which is that, Amalek almost has the status of an Ir HaNidachas, right? An idolatrous city where you destroy the whole city, you kill everyone that's there. You burn everything, right? So that's what's really being instructed here, is like, kill everyone, destroy everything. Amalek is, so anything that's in the city could be consumed with them.
So he says that maybe because they're mixed in with them, somebody else mentioned, right, they made by mistake too. They're like a rough.
Right, so that's, right, so that explains why he told them to leave. Right, but that doesn't explain why he had to give this reasoning. Just a nice gesture.
Throw it in. You know, if we're having a good way to do is one thing, or you say, you know, we're friends.
Right.
It's a more nicer way to say things.
Could be.
They may be wondering why you asked us to go. You just have to show them on the way out.
Okay. Right. Okay. All good suggestions. Okay. So, Pasuk Zayin Vayach, Shaul es Amalek, and Shaul struck Amalek, Mechavila Boach Ashur, from Havila until Shur, Asher Alpnei Mitzrayim, which is on the face of Mitzrayim. So apparently, even though we referred to it as Ir Amalek before, the city of Amalek, so either it's they're much more broad, or maybe they were on the run and he chased them down. Because here it seems to be describing, you know, a distance from Chavila until Shur. So it could be that they just were on the run and he chased them down. Vayitpos es Agag Melech Amalek Chai, and he held Agag, the king of Amalek, alive. Veskolaam hecherim lifikharev, and the whole nation he destroyed by sword. So he killed everyone except for the king Agag. Vayachmol Shaul v'ha'am al Agag, and Shaul and the nation had mercy on Agag. V'almeitav hatzong v'habakar, and on the best of the sheep and of the cattle. V'amishnim, and the fat, bulls and things. V'alakarim, and again, these are the sheep, the fat sheep. The Alkol HaTov, and on all the good stuff, Vilo Avo Acharimam, and they did not bring themselves to, they did not allow themselves to destroy it. Vilo Amalacha Nimivza Venames Osachim, but all the stuff that was Bazoi, that was disgraceful, that wasn't so good. And it was names, so like from the word like melted, all this, basically all the stuff that wasn't as good, that they destroyed. So the good stuff they kept around, and the bad stuff they destroyed. What's that? Which camels? The cattle. Do we say camels? Yeah, you're right. Right. It said, yeah. Not clear what happened. And the donkeys. But basically, he left a lot of. He was supposed to destroy everything, everyone, and everything. He left Agag alive, and he left the animals alive. Okay, and obviously, this is a great, great error on Shaul's part. You know, Agag ends up having a child, and Amalek is able to survive. Now, eventually, we have Haman, Ben Hamdasa, Ha-Agagi, the descendant of Amalek. We have many Amalekim in the story of Purim. You know, according to the Mefarshim, that were around in that time. So, yeah, who knows? So,
unexplainably hatred towards Jewish people.
Yeah.
We have no rich
people. Could be. It's hard to know. Yeah. Who knows? So, anyways, obviously a very big error, and we'll have to. There's a ton of Mefarshim on all these series of Sukkim, so we'll do some, and let's go in order. So let's go back to Pasuk Gimel. So to the instruction. So Hashem says, "Lech v'hikisa es Amalek, go and strike Amalek, v'acharamtem es kol asher lo, and destroy everything, v'lo sachmol alav, and have no mercy on him, and kill me'ish v'ad isha me'ol v'ad yonik mishor v'ad tzem migom v'ad chamar, all the people." And all of the animals. So why did Hashem say to kill the animals? Is that part of the mitzvah of wiping out Amalek or not? So Rashi says, Mishar ve'atzeh, why should you kill the animals? Shehayu balei kshafim, because they were masters of magic, of black magic. They knew how to change their form and change themselves into animals. In fact, I believe that there's a medrash. This is, I think, the most famous medrash about this. I haven't actually come across this medrash in learning it right now, but this is what I knew of this before, which was that that's how Agag actually survived, was he turned himself into a sheep. And really, Shaul did not intentionally leave Agag alive. He only left the animals alive, but Agag had turned himself into an animal. However, that's what I was familiar with before this. I haven't yet come across that medrash now in my preparing of this year. So we're not going to necessarily work with that. But that's what Rashi says, that was the reason. It seems from this Rashi that it's hard to know if it's part of the mitzvah. Maybe it is part of the mitzvah for this purpose. Okay, the Radak is more clear about it. The Radak says that if you would leave anything around, so that would mean that it belonged, you would be leaving something that is bounty from Amalek, and you haven't destroyed the Zecher of Amalek. You haven't wiped out the memory of Amalek, because people are going to say, Zehayom Yishlam Amalek. People will say, oh, this is the trophy from the war with Amalek, right? So that's not wiping out the memory of Amalek. So says the Radak, essential to the mitzvah is to wipe out everything, animals included. And that, indeed, that Rashi on Chumash is more clear about this. Rashi on Chumash sides with the Radak, that this is part of the mitzvah. The Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch, who often goes with the Rambam, don't mention this as part of the mitzvah. The Sefer HaChinuch says, Nitztavino limcho zaro shel Amalek, we're commanded to wipe out the descendants of Amalek, ula'abed zichro min ha'olam, and to destroy his memory, zachar unakeva gadol v'katan, male, female, adult, and child. That's the mitzvah. And on that it says, Timcha zecher Amalek, and that's the mitzvah. No mention in the Sefer HaChinuch of any mitzvah to destroy the animals. Same thing in the Rambam. The Minchas Chinuch, the commentary on the Sefer HaChinuch, points this out, that the Rambam and the Chinuch don't count destroying the animals as part of the mitzvah. Rashi does. He says, look at Rashi in Chumash. Rashi says, Me'ish v'ad isha, me'olo v'ad yonik, mishor v'ad set. You know, it includes the animals, the mitzvah. So, says this Minchas Chinuch, I don't know where Rashi got that from. Eini yodea mehechon hotzi Rashi zeh. He says it's not in the Sifri, which is the halachic medrash on Sefer Devarim. He says, maybe you'll say from the story of Shaul, maybe that's the proof, because Shaul was told to destroy the animals. He says that they can't prove from there. Hashem gave that command to Shmuel right then, right? So just because at that moment Hashem said to Shmuel to do it in a certain way does not tell you what the mitzvah in the Torah is, right? Where, what would be this? He says, Rashi does not have a source for a source in Chazal that the mitzvah would include destroying the animals. This would be what we would call harasha. It was specific to the time that he said to destroy the animals. Tzarachim, he says. Rashi remains Tzarachim. It needs further investigation. What? Right. Well, at the word of Hashem, but specific to this time, it doesn't tell you. It can't tell you. What's that? It's what? No, it's, we're not saying that Shmuel invented it. We're, in fact, he says, Ko Amar Hashem, right? This is what Hashem says. So he's passing on the work of Hashem. But something that Shmuel says now does not necessarily tell you what the mitzvah of the Torah is, right?
So speaking, we still have the mitzvah to destroy Amalek at this date.
Yeah.
Right? Still, it's standing mitzvah. It's still, you know, just can't do it right now.
Right. You have to know who they were.
But the animals, the question is, do we have to...
Right. Exactly. And that would probably be easier to do. Although, right, there are Mefarshim. Maybe we'll get to something about that in a moment. So... The Meshech Chachma says, no, absolutely, there is a source for Rashi in Chazal. It's a Mechilta, another Medrash on Parshas Peshalach. And so indeed, Rashi does have a source. Now, if I could borrow this for a moment. So based on this idea, we could have an approach to... where Shaul went wrong. Again, leaving Agag alive is going to be hard to justify. But in terms of leaving the animals alive, so perhaps, based on this, we can understand what Shaul may have been thinking. So, the Kli Chemda al HaTorah explains that where was Shaul's mistake? So he says that since, if we assume like the Rambam and the Chinuch, that the real mitzvah is only to destroy the people, and that which he was commanded to destroy, to kill the animals as well, was just a harasha, was specific to this time. So if we assume like that, so says the Kli Chemda that... that which we listen to a harash shah is only what he calls l'migdar milsa, is to sort of fence things in, like you suggested before, that if it would be a fence around the Torah, so then you would listen to a harash shah, a specific instruction. But he says here he was running up against a different Isser d'oraisa, which is Tzar Bali Chayim. Tzar Bali Chayim is d'oraisa, the proper treatment of animals. Now, he's throwing himself into a big question whether killing an animal involves any Tzar Bali Chayim. If you just quickly take its life, it's not necessarily putting it in pain. So it may not be a violation of Tzar Bali Chayim. But he's assuming that it is, or that there would be some involvement of Tzar Bali Chayim. And so therefore, he says that perhaps Shaul felt that this was not a proper harasha. It's not something to be listened to, because it's not l'migdar milsa. It's not making a fence around the Torah, because it involves a different violation. And therefore, he thought, you know, he was, he sort of was trying to beat the system. What his intention was to bring these animals as karbanos. And he thought that would like be a workaround. I'll listen to the commandment, I'll kill them, but I'll bring them as karbanos. But that was apparently not an acceptable approach.
Is there any discussion of the recommendation not to waste?
We personally know that
factored into that.
Right. That's an interesting question. Valtashchas is d'oraisa. At least the pasuk that speaks about not to waste, not to destroy, talks about cutting down fruit trees. But I believe that you're correct, that at least according to many, it extends to any destruction, any destructive behavior would also be a problem of a d'oraisa. The question would be if that would run into... Right, meaning if there was a real mitzvah to do it, then obviously we wouldn't say that that's wasting. It's a mitzvah. But you're saying over here, maybe we can say that it was just a harasha. Maybe the harasha can't stand up to that also. Similar to the Tzar Bali Chaim. Yeah, it should be able to work in the same line of reasoning as the Tzar Bali Chaim. It's possible. There's a similar approach, which is the Be'er Moshe. So he says that again... The Again, if we assume like the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch that the mitzvah is only to destroy the people and not the animals, so why was Shmuel telling him to kill the animals as well? So he says Shaul may have thought that this was Shmuel receiving a new nevuah, a new interpretation of the Torah. That it wasn't a horasha. It wasn't Shmuel saying, you know, this one time do it this way. It was Shmuel saying, I'm going to tell you what Hashem really meant. Hashem just told me what he really meant with that mitzvah. And what he really meant was to destroy the people as well. In that case, we would apply the idea of lo bashamayimi. The Torah is not in heaven. Once the Torah has been given, so it's not, we don't listen to nevuah or heavenly voices for interpreting the Torah. At that point, it's up to, the Torah is given to us to interpret. So therefore, it's possible that that Shaul thought that he doesn't have any obligation to listen to Shaul in this. It's a Shmuel in these circumstances, because Shmuel is giving not a harasha, not a one time command, but based on nevuah, he's giving an interpretation of the Torah, and that was where Shaul was mistaken, because indeed it was a harasha. Shmuel was not reinterpreting the mitzvah of the Torah, and therefore he was expected to listen to him.
It doesn't say how the people, the soul on the people, like that they all thought, hey, maybe this was something that we got in the sea.
Right, or you know, Shaul's calling the shots and people and everyone else is following along.
Right. But
okay, ultimately it's his responsibility, I think. So fine. Okay, let's just do one more pasuk here, a couple of ideas on this pasuk, sort of a side point. Pasuk Dalid, so it says, Vayishama Shaul Esa'am, Vayifkidim Batulayim, he counted them with Tulayim. So what are Tulayim? So a Tle is a sheep. So we mentioned that Rashi learns that everybody was told to take a sheep from the king's flock, and that's how they counted them. The simple pshat is that Tlaim is a place. That's where he counted them. He counted them in Tlaim. The Targum Yonasan here mentions that they counted Karban Pesach. So apparently it was Erev Pesach. And they were counting the Karban Pesach. Right, so I was wondering about that, how that would provide a good count. I'm not sure, because you can have a group on it. There is an idea, not to answer this question, but that there's an idea in Kabbalah, in the Zohar, that the day that to destroy Amalek is Erev Pesach, for some reason. Because it says, somehow it's an interpretation of the pasuk, Ki Yad Al Kes Ka, because the hand of Amalek was on the throne of Hashem, and Yad is Yud Dalid. 14th, somehow there's a hint to Nisan. I don't understand the Zohar's exact drasha, but there is an idea in Kabbalah that Erev Pesach is the day to destroy Amalek, and so that would fit with this. Just finally, the Gemara just learns from this story. This is where we learn the idea, among other sources, but one of the sources for the idea that we don't count Jews. You don't point to, right? It says, Amar Reb Yitzchak, Aser Liminos is Yisrael Afilu L'Dvar Mitzvah. You're not allowed to count Jewish people by pointing at them, even for a matter of a mitzvah. And one of the sources is this pasuk. Right, we know we always count with like half shekels and different things, so this would be another source for that. Okay, let's hold here.
Makes sense.